Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How should believers prepare themselves for the tough times looming on the horizon? Today, more lessons from Jeremiah chapter 1 as the prophet of Israel faces a rough ride along with those God is judging. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Listen now for more of the first of seven messages, finding ourselves having to say, we have no map for this territory.
Now, here's the way in which we need to nail a few things down. First of all, let me say that calamities and judgments from God may be unavoidable. Unavoidable. I'll talk about this when I speak about God's eventual judgment, but in the book of Revelation, there's a phrase I never saw before. Have you ever had that experience? You just say, I never saw that before. It says that when Babylon is destroyed, all the cities of the world will collapse. That's what's going to happen to Chicago. We cannot stop the eventual demise of America. America isn't even mentioned in prophecy. We can maybe slow it down, and we should do all that we possibly can. But in Ezekiel 14, a very interesting passage, God says, I'm bringing judgment, and even though Noah and Job are praying, and Daniel, he said, I won't stop my hand. There is such a thing as a tipping point where God says, I have had enough. And sometimes it's inevitable. I think that God has brought many remedial judgments to America, but we're not listening. I read to you a moment ago, I guess I didn't. I have more material here today than I can cover. But I read a moment ago where God says, I'm going to stop up their ears and they're not going to hear. People don't want to hear about God and judgment. They just don't want to hear. You know what they did with Jeremiah? They threw him in a pit. Jeremiah ended in a prison. I mean, it was not a fairy tale story of how this prophet, you know, began to drive a new chariot. There was nothing along that line. It was tough sledding. But God says, I'm going to defend you, and I'm going to be with you, and you're my servant. And God says that to you today. You are God's servant for this moment. Even though people don't want to hear. Second, in a time of judgment, judgment is always collective. When the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem, Jeremiah suffered along with them, and the remnant of believers also suffered, just like us. After all, we are on the same ship. We are going to the same destination as a country. We are. I love the words of Chesterton. He said, we are on a life raft together in a fearful storm. We owe one another a terrible allegiance. And I would say that as Moody Church, one of the things I want to have happen in this series is that we think through better ways how we can help one another through fearful storms. And could I say as a parenthesis that there is much more going on in this congregation than you know about, even that I know about, and I know more than most of you. We are helping people who are going through their own day of calamity. We are sometimes paying their bills. We are involved, whether the calamity is personal, whether it is economic, whether or not it is other areas of counseling. We are doing what we can. But you who are sitting here today listening to this, you also owe to us a frightful, terrible kind of loyalty. We have to go through the future together. And I'm burdened for the many of you who believe that Christianity is a matter of convenience. You may come to a service, you never give anything, you never volunteer for anything, you never commit to anything, you're never part of a small group because you simply think you can coast. I am not a prophet like Jeremiah, but I believe the day is coming, and it could even happen in my lifetime, when the day of casual Christianity will finally be over. And there will be a distinction between the committed and the uncommitted. And coasting will no longer be an option. But we're in it together. Same boats. You'll say, well, you know, those who are in favor of same-sex marriage are saying, in effect, you know, I can drill a hole on my side of the boat, and I have a constitutional right to do that. Well, yeah, but the problem is we're on the same boat. That's the problem. We cannot separate that, and that's not the only issue. It's the only one that came to mind right now. But we are in this together. And I say as a congregation, are we going to hang together? I hope so. You're very quiet out there. Finally, I see this as nothing but a great time of opportunity. What an opportunity. What a time to be alive. On Friday, on the plane coming from Canada, Rebecca gave me a newspaper, or I should say a magazine. She wanted me to read an article. What an article. Here's a young mother dying of cancer. And before she died, she said this, and she has young children. At least they talked about a son who was still young and having some disabilities. Can you imagine? Can cancer be any worse than that to take a young mother? I can't think of anything worse right off the top of my head. But she said, to me, the big C in my life is not cancer. The big C in my life is Christ. That's what it's all about. The goal of life is not to have a long life. God may give it to you, as he did my parents, but that's not the goal of life, is to try to figure out how do we live an extra day. The goal of life is not to have a long life. The goal of life is to glorify Jesus no matter what situation we are in or what is happening around us. That's the goal of life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the big C in our lives is not calamity. The big C in our lives is Christ. And some of you who are listening don't even know him personally. You must acknowledge your own need of him and realize that he died to be our Savior. And when he is our Savior, he will be our protector, even as Jeremiah was protected. Not protected from evil and not protected from suffering, but protected from the wrath of God and protected. And God says, no matter where you go, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what pressure you have on you, I'm going to be there with you. I'm not going to abandon you. Even in Jeremiah, God talks about a remnant that he is going to be with no matter what. And that's why this series of messages is being preached. It is to help us clarify our values, to get rid of the fog, and to see what is eternal and what is important. And then to know whether it is a famine, whether it is a desert, or some other hard place, we can make it safely to our eternal home. And we're created for this moment, this hour, right now, at this moment, to be God's representative in a world that clearly has lost its way. Let us pray together. Father, we feel like Jeremiah. You know, we're scared. We're saying, well, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We're totally paralyzed. We've been told our faith is supposed to be private. We've kept it very, very private. We've done very well. We've not lived it out. We've not shared it. We've held it to ourselves. And here we are, with everything running over us, weak, eager to compromise. Oh, Father, we may not be able to do too much about the world, too much about politics, perhaps a little bit that we should do, but at the end of the day, help us to be changed by whom we trust. And give us the courage and give us the hope that we need to make it successfully to the other side. Help us to be gripped by the fact that you've called us to this moment of history, to be your representative in this world. And for those who've never trusted Christ as Savior, help them to see that if they come under the shadow of his protection through faith, receiving his gift of salvation and his forgiveness, they can be also on the path with us to something far better than earth has to offer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, my friend, one of the reasons I enjoy history, not only the history that is recorded in the Bible, but church history throughout the centuries, is to help people to understand that our situation is not unique. Throughout history, whether it's the Old Testament or the New, the fact is that God's people have always faced trials. They've always been up against a very difficult culture. Our prayer here at Running to Win is that we might be an encouragement and a help, not only by providing insight, but also encouragement and biblical strength. Would you stand with us? Would you become a part of this ministry? Here is how you can become an endurance partner. Now, an endurance partner is somebody who gives regularly to this ministry. They believe in the message of salvation that we preach to tens of thousands of people. Here's how you can find out about it. You can go to offerrtw.com and click on the Endurance Partner button. Let me give that to you again. offerrtw.com. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for joining the Running to Win family, for taking our hands and together as we make it across the finish line, helping people understand our times and our role in the world. 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, We Have No Map for This Territory, his first message on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time, tune in to learn about trusting God when the wells are dry. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.